Ryan caught the hasty gesture and guessed that they were about to meet Baron Hamish Tenbos. The memory of the ruddy, tanned figure with broad shoulders and deep chest, rushing about his vill, hearty and perpetually busy, was rudely dispelled by the man who walked slowly into the bar, leaning heavily on an ivory-handled cane. Hamish Tenbos was probably still in his 50s, but he had the appearance of someone 20 years older. His back was stooped, and he dragged one leg behind him, the worn boot scuffing on the flagstones. A few fronds of lank white hair straggled down both sides of his lined face, held in place with a neatly knotted ribbon of black velvet. One eye drooped, and a corner of his mouth was pulled down, giving Tenbos a look of permanent dissatisfaction. "Stroke," was Ryan's immediate reaction to the radical changes he saw in the Baron, a reaction that was quickly proved to be correct.
"Mr. Ryan Carter, the number one lieutenant of the hardest of the hard. How was Traitor now? I'd heard he'd been chilled in a skirmish with some renegade Cheyenne or some Comancheros down near Mazatlan. True? Doesn't matter. Nothing much matters. You look well, Carter."
Tenbo snapped the fingers of his good hand to attract the attention of the barkeep, who immediately brought a tray with three foaming glasses of beer.
"Baron, I'd like you to meet J.B. Dix."
"Pleasure to meet you, Mr. Dix. Heard of you. Best man on blasters in all of Deathlands. I must show you my own collection. What remains of it. Like their owner, my guns have suffered much over the past few years."
"Mainly flintlocks and muzzle loaders, I hear, Baron. Nothing much after the middle part of the 19th century."
"Correct. I used to strip and clean every gun at least once a month. But since my accident..."
Tenbos touched his drooped eye with his withered hand.
"Since this, I've rather lost my interest. I figure that I've lost most of my interests."
"Still be pleased to look at them."
"Good.
The Baron drained his glass, spilling a fair part of it over his black jerkin.
"Is it all right with you, Baron, if we stay the night here?"
"Stay the night? Of course. I have a fond memory of the Traitor. I had heard that he'd been chilled down. I'm a stoop. You told me that you and Dix here were planning to resume contact with him. Near Seattle, wasn't it? My memory's failing me now. The last part of my wretched body that survived unscarred from a stroke."
"When was it?"
2 years back, come Thanksgiving. I found my wife in bed with one of her sons. Chilled them both. I fell down. Woke up, fucked up like this."
Ryan and JB sat silent, looking at each other, and looking down into their half-empty schooners of beer.
"Generally take strangers that way."
"I don't remember you as a married man. Not when I rode through your ville with Traitor."
"Wasn't then."
JB had steepled his fingers together, a sure sign he was doing some kind of mental calculation.
"Reckon it wasn't that many years ago Traitor was here. You weren't married then. Had your attack around 2 years ago. Your wife was screwing with your son. How old was he?"
No. You got the mule by the tail, Mr. Dix. Her son, not my son. Her son. He was 24. She had 3 boys. Other 2 live here now. Both waiting for me to die. Getting less patient every day."
The Baron turned to the Sekhmen, all of whom had been sitting like embalmed statues since his arrival.
"That's right, isn't it, lads? I never believed the old man could have stayed alive for so long. Miserable little sons of bitches. Time was I could have taken them all."
The barkeep arrived with refills for their beers. Tenbos was sitting with both eyes shut tight, his head dropping forward, his breathing heavy and regular.
"Baron has these turns. Gets himself angered up about Robbie and Teddy. They're 26 and 23 now. Their mother was Janine Ems. The dead boy was Damien. You'll see them both if you stay the night here in the ville. They'll be at dinner."
They had been given a room on the 3rd floor of the tower. Unusually, Baron Tenbos lived on the bottom story, in a small suite of rooms. There were Sekhmen on the second level, and the two stepsons on the fourth. Then nothing up to the very top, where the Baron kept his diminished firearms collection. Ryan stood by the window, gazing out over the pastures and orchards, while J.B. sat on one of the pair of single beds, cleaning his Uzi. A small can of oil was balanced against a length of white rag.
Lovely place.
Yeah. Change to find a vill where the folks seem happy. The Sekhmen are doing a fair job in a fair way, and the Baron doesn't want to chill every outlander that steps across the borders of his domain.
Promised us a bath. Bed seemed comfortable. Good food. Tembo said we could take some dried meat and fruit with us when we go tomorrow. Eggs and cheese and stuff. Maybe make a leisurely start for once. I reckon this is going to be the best part of this rat-blasted journey. Just for once we can relax. Just a little.
Dinner's about ready. Baron's waiting for you on the ground floor. Just follow the signs to the Portofino Diner.
The corridors were dark, and the carpet on the stairs was worn and threadbare. A pair of doors stood open, and Ryan walked in, JB at his heels. The Uzi was across the armorer's shoulders, and Ryan's Sig Sauer was safely holstered. There was nobody in the room, nor were there any windows. Oil lamps stood on broad ledges, casting a warm glow over the room. The dining table was 20 feet in length, set with a good linen cloth and a mixed and mismatched assortment of china, glass, and cutlery. Five dining chairs were arranged around it, one at the head, a pair on each side, quite close, and then another pair farther down, close to the bottom of the table.
We the first?
Looks like it. Hey, take in those swords up there, over the fireplace.
It was a fine array, the points all driving toward the center, the hilts equidistant from one another, golden tassels dangling beneath.
Two different kinds. Why is that, JB? The hilts and the whole shape, they aren't the same.
Kind of dusty and dirty, aren't they? Could do with a polish. Different, Ryan? Not sure. Edged weapons aren't my specialty. I think those that are slightly less curved with the bigger guard are for cavalry officers from the Civil War. So the other kind is probably infantry.
Nice try, Mr. Dix. And half right. That is indeed a Model 35, the cavalry saber. Regulation weapon. The other one? This is a Number 24 light artillery saber.
Neither of them had heard Baron Tenbos enter the room. JB nodded, not even turning around.
Yeah, of course. I should have been able to work that out for myself. Like I said, blasters are my love.
Well, then we'll have a look at them before you leave. If you want to stay a few days, rest up, you'd be welcome. Don't often get outlanders passing through who rode with Trader. Toughest man I ever met. Not many pleasures left to a man in my sorry condition, and talking over old times not worth the forgetting would be good for me.
Thanks, but no thanks, Baron. Things we have to do.
Tenbo sat down at the head of the table, wincing with pain, but trying to disguise it.
Things that a man can't ride around, Cotter? I understand that. Please.
He gestured to the pair of seats nearest to him.
Your sons?
They prefer not to be too close to a man with the taint of death about him. All they wish is that I take the ride with the dark ferryman as speedily as possible. None of us have any doubt that they would help me across that river if they could find some scheme that would enable them to get away with it. Ah, well, speaking of the devils, here they come.
JB and Ryan had only just sat down, and they both looked curiously at the pair of young men who walked in through the double doors. At a first glance, it was quite difficult to tell the brothers apart. Both were stocky, powerfully built, with the tanned faces of young farmers, both with black curly hair that hung low across their napes, and both had a single gold stud glittering in their right ears.
Robbie and Teddy. Robbie's the one slouching on the left, the one who's wearing my wife's wedding ring.
My mother's wedding ring, Baron.
Whatever you say, sit down. These guests are Ryan Cawdor and...
J.B. Dix, we know, Father. Two old killers from Traitor's Gang.
Ryan smiled at them, concealing the sudden red mist of anger that fluttered over his mind.
There are those who have said that over the years, but Traitor had no enemies, young man.
No enemies?
None alive.
The food was plain and